Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
The clue is in the name. Defined as a prolonged and bitter quarrel or dispute, a feud is usually two-sided so you can get the most out of the story. I get you get me, then we hug. Lovely. Sometimes, though, for whatever reason, this goes in the complete other direction, even though you're dealing with two megastars. That's right, 9 WWE feuds you didn't realize were shockingly one-sided. Number 9, Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels. HBK had told the Hitman he would never put him over. Therefore, Hart got a bee in his bonnet and decided to do the same. Kinda get it. However, when you do go through the total win-loss record, Bret actually won this 5-2. That's right. They first crossed paths when the Rockers took on the Hart Foundation, which the latter always won. When they had their first singles TV encounter at WWF Wrestling Challenge 180, actually ended in a double DQ. Ah, the irony. The first real finish then came at the Survivor Series 1992, and at that time, yep, sharpshooter, tap-out win. 1 year later at the same event, it was a team affair as the Hart family defeated Shawn Michaels and his Knights. Seriously, never watched this. I mean, it's so bad. We then move on to WrestleMania 12, and we all remember it was the Heartbreak Kid who won the Iron Man match for the WWF title. And then, yes, it's the Montreal Screwjob. We all know the deal with that one too. So over a decade plus, it was actually Bret that had Shawn's number. I'm sure this won't fire up a debate that nobody needs. Number 8, Trish Stratus versus Mickie James. While James would go on to become an all-timer, back in the 2000s, the WWE had chosen Stratus, hence why she has an 8-3 record. Smashed it. It started with Mickie losing at New Year's Resolution in 2006, but that sparked a heel turn, and she went on to beat Trish for the women's title at WrestleMania 22. In terms of what people remember, this was the match as well. Everybody loved it. Stratus would get the next W at Backlash a month on, but that was via DQ. When they clashed once more on Raw that year, it was actually Mickie who got the victory. Amazingly, the way Trish pushed the numbers was due to tag matches, as the face team kept going over the heel team. And even 12 years after their most famous encounter, Stratus stood tall once again side by side with Lita, and they defeated Mickie James and Alicia Fox. Number 7, Bret Hart versus Steve Austin. Bret's record against Austin is 8-1. That's right. It is a lovely reminder as to what wrestling can do, because even despite this, Stone Cold still mentions how Hart made him during all of this. Their first fight was Sun City Super Bowl, which nobody remembers, and then we got to the 1996 Survivor Series as they battled to try and become the number one contender for Psycho Sid's WWE title. There you go. We then get to the 1997 Royal Rumble, where Bret was screwed as nobody saw Steve get eliminated by Hart, when he snuck back in and won the whole thing. This is why we did go to WrestleMania 13, I'm not even going to bother going into that. It's the best match ever, but Bret won. By this point, however, Austin was just on fire, so finally did get his win at In Your House 14, Revenge of the Taker. That is wild. There's a bunch more of these two, but again, these two never had a bad match. Number 6, the Usos versus the New Day. It is without doubt one of the best tag team wars in WWE history, and when we add up the totals, we are talking about 18-12 in favor of the Usos. The New Day flew out the blocks as well, as the early matches began just as fans started to realize that Xavier Woods, Kofi Kingston, and Big E were awesome, so it was important to keep that momentum going. But then Jimmy and Jay turned heel, so they also started to clock up the wins. We can jump back to the 11th of January 2016 when the Usos beat the pairing of Big E and Kofi, whereas a mere few weeks later at the Royal Rumble, the result was reversed. I'm sure this would have continued too, but the brand split kept them apart, and in terms of their last match as of me talking, and guess what? That's right, the Usos beat the New Day. Number 5, John Cena versus JBL. I don't think this one is all that shocking. John Cena whooped JBL's ass, hence why it's 15-6 in his favor. It is important though, as John defeated JBL at WrestleMania 21 to win his first world title. As WWE is wont to do, this continued on after Mania, where Cena continued to bip him. It was quite the shift. JBL had been one of the longest reigning champions of the modern era, and as soon as he lost it, man, he couldn't catch a break. The funniest one is that ridiculous match where Cena and Randy Orton had to take on the entire Raw roster, which included Bradshaw, and yep, he still lost. It is important to note that JBL got a single one-on-one victory against Johnny Two in 2008, where he won a New York City parking lot brawl. Bradshaw is an important cog in making Cena. He put this guy over hard before Oscar versus Charlotte Flair. Right away, I bet you're rolling your eyes. Of course Charlotte won this one. Well, you would be wrong. Oscar is 15-10 up. What do you know? My favorite fact about this feud is their first encounter came in the Mixed Match Challenge. That was an absolute joy of an idea that should be revived. And the Empress of Tomorrow and The Miz went all of the way before she challenged the Queen at WrestleMania 34. Flair was able to tap out Oscar, which also ended the latter's 914-day undefeated streak. After that, sheesh. Oscar was mad. Admittedly, it wasn't until 2018 until she got her win back. But from there, she defeated both Charlotte and Becky Lynch to win the SmackDown Women's title and team with Kairi Sane so that she could continue to beat Flair. And she did. The Kabuki Warriors almost always walked away with their heads held high after those. And even when they last met, Oscar won. Number 3, Sting versus Hulk Hogan. Right, another lesson in wrestling madness and how sometimes it's the match itself rather than the amount of wins you get. Because we can all recall the stupid booking at WCW Starrcade 1997, where all we had to do was have Sting defeat Hulk Hogan for the world title. People have been desperate for this, and while it did happen, my word, it was after all the shenanigans, totally ruined it. If you do need a pick-me-up, though, yeah. Overall, Sting has a 13-3 record over Hulk. How the hell did that happen? I suppose it shows that their war was way more than just one talked-about night. And look at it this way. If we are just talking about the WCW World Title contests, Sting goes 3-0 over Hogan. He won the belt every time. I love this, to be honest. WCW knew that Sting was not to be messed with, apart from at Starrcade. Amazingly, their final encounter was outside of World Championship Wrestling 2, where the Stinger got Hogan to tap out one last time. Number 2, Steve Austin versus The Rock. This one actually does stand to reason. Had to be this way. The numbers are still hilarious, however, because, yep, Austin is 20-3 over The Rock. I mean, that's a mauling. One of the best programs ever was next as Corporate Rock took on the Bionic Redneck with Austin whooping his ass at those WrestleManias. And just as it looked like we were about to do a bit more back and forth, The Rock left to conquer Hollywood. This is likely why when they could do it one last time at WrestleMania 19, Austin insisted it was time for the People's Champ to get the nod. Even more so because he was secretly retiring. So once again, this is more fuel for your brain. You can be over like crazy. Never actually win. Number 1, Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins. I mean, no wonder Seth Rollins hates Roman Reigns. The Tribal Chief is 29-9 over him. That's nuts. As we speak today, they're also the two top champions in the company, having lived up to the plan behind the Shield. But when they go one-on-one, Seth is boned. Now, a lot of this is because WWE was so desperate to try and make the big dog version of Roman work that he used to beat everybody. Him versus the Authority was a thing for the ages. In fact, it went on so long, the amount of Reigns teams with somebody random to defeat Kane and Seth Rollins is nonsense. Go and look at Cage Match, it will hurt your eyes. The Money in the Bank cash-in at Mania 31 for sure counts as a tick for Rollins, but again, when they continued to go at it, we went back to tags. You know the rest. For the majority of 2015, the future head of the table just won and won and won and won. When we finally got to the Money in the Bank in 2016, and Seth beat Roman clean. Thank goodness for that, although there was a caveat, Reigns had been suspended following a wellness violation. Goodness sake. Now please do click the video on the screen, which is 10 WWE classics that never should have worked, to have your mind blown some more. Like the video, share the video, and subscribe. Otherwise, have a terrific day, and I will talk to you again soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.